Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled Rejoice. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, there's one word that's used several times by Paul as an instruction to the church, and that word is rejoice. Paul, who was in prison at the time, having to endure difficult circumstances, was not looking to be encouraged by others, but instead is encouraging others by telling them to rejoice regardless of what they're facing. No doubt, Paul's telling the church to do exactly what he himself is doing in prison. If we have the idea that living the Christian life is going to be without challenges, I think we're fooling ourselves. And if we wait to rejoice only when things are easy, then are we really abiding by Paul's instruction to rejoice in the Lord always? We must have a lifestyle of rejoicing in the Lord, no matter what our circumstances might be. I hope that you enjoy this message.
I'd like to begin tonight with prayer. Father, it's a pleasure, it's a blessing to be able to share your word with hungry people. And I thank you, God, for your word, for the truth that has set us free. Father, I thank you that your Holy Ghost is revealing more and more of these truths to us. And we're walking in them, and we're seeing the fruit in our lives. We thank you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your life that you've given to us. We come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you now in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, thank you for the anointing of the teacher. I thank you for the ability to speak your word and do it with clarity in Jesus' name. Amen. So this evening is going to be a message that I really believe is going to bless you. And as I was preparing for it, the Lord simply said encouragement. He wants me to speak words of encouragement to you. I don't know what you might be facing. I'm not sure if maybe some of you may have had a doctor's report that came back that was very discouraging, and now you're trying to figure out how to deal with it. Maybe you've had financial disappointments, and you're faced with all kind of bills, and you're not sure what to do about that. There's a whole variety of things that we face on a daily basis that the enemy would love for you to set your attention on those things. Get your eyes set on all of the problems. Look at those problems. I mean, it's almost like at times, and maybe it is this way in the spirit, that there's like these little devils trying to get us to focus our attention on the problem. Look at that problem. Look at it. It's not going away. You're going to have to deal with this. And when you set your thoughts, your attention on the problem instead of on the solution, you are solidifying that problem in your life. You're putting it in concrete. And it's going to stay there as long as you sit there and focus on it and worry about it and fret about it and contemplate it. And, oh, what happens if this bad thing happens? What happens if that bad thing happens? What am I going to do? None of that will produce any good fruit. All it's going to do is agitate you, upset you, frustrate you, make you anxious, make you worried, affect your physical body, make your blood pressure go up, make your heart rate flutter. You don't need any of that. You know, and when I say that, I'm not suggesting that we just be the kind of person that just throws all of our responsibilities to the wind. Oh, God will just take care of all that. I can just do what I want to. That's foolishness. You know, that God doesn't expect us to do just to relinquish our responsibility over things. We're to be adults. We're to accept our responsibility, but at the same time, we're not supposed to worry about it. We're supposed to turn our care of that situation over to Him. He's Lord of our life. We talked about that last week. He's either Lord or we're giving Him lip service. We're just saying that He's Lord, but the reality of it is He really isn't. If we think that it's our responsibility to take care of all of our problems ourselves, who's Lord? He's the Lord. So tonight we're going to do some looking at Philippians, just kind of not an in-depth study of Philippians, but we're just going to look at a few key scriptures in Philippians. You know, that it was interesting to me as I just kind of skimmed through Philippians, I noticed a word that continued to reappear. You know what that word is? Rejoice. And if you look at the history of that book, of that letter that Paul wrote, he was in prison. This man was in prison. And yet, look at all the times in that one letter that he told the Philippian church, rejoice, rejoice. And it's exceeding joy. If you look at the definition in the Greek, it's talking about exceeding joy, exceedingly joyful. And yet, how many Christians do you know today that live in exceeding joy? Most of them look just like the world looks. There's not joy there. There's anxiety and there's frustration. There's disappointment. There, any number of negative things. But that's not the way our Heavenly Father wants us to live. He wants us to live in exceeding joy. Well, you say, Mark, how can that be? How can I live life in this earth with exceeding joy? Well, one reason is because you know when you leave this earth, if you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, when you leave here, you can spend forever in His presence. See, right there, that in and of itself is more than enough to get you out of whatever mully grubs you find yourself in. You get to spend every bit of eternity with Jesus. That's awesome. Right there is awesome. And quite honestly, our eternity has already begun. We can spend our life with Him now. Don't have to wait to go to heaven. It really is supposed to be right now. But unfortunately, this world is still very much very real to us, and it has a big effect on many of our lives because we let it. Because we focus our attention on it instead of on the things of God, instead of on the promises of God, instead of on the reality, the truth that Jesus has already delivered us from everything the enemy could ever do to us. He didn't leave us here as fodder for the enemy. He didn't leave us here to get beat up by the devil. He didn't. He absolutely didn't. And when the enemy tries to do something to us, what's really important is how we respond. Do we exercise our authority and run the devil off? Or do we look to God and ask Him to do it? Would you, God, Father, would you please get the devil off of my back? The only thing He could say, the only thing that He could say is, I've already gotten him off of your back through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's kind of like a police officer who is questioning, you know, his authority, And he runs to the mayor, and he says, "Mayor, I'm not sure if people are going to obey me or not." What? Of course they are. You've got delegated authority by the city or the state or whatever it is. It's already been delegated to you. You just simply have to exercise it and walk in it and believe that it's yours. You know, if that police officer didn't believe it was his, he couldn't exercise it. He couldn't take advantage of it. And see, the same thing holds true for Christians. If you don't believe that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, if you don't believe it, you can't take advantage of it. If you don't believe that you have been born again and that you are a child of the living God, if you don't believe it, you can't walk in it. You can't take advantage of it. You can't exercise the authority that's been given to you as a born-again child of God, as a son of God. You got to believe this. It's the only way it works. Oh, well, Mark, I don't feel like... There's your problem. You're trying to go by how you feel in the natural. This is not natural. This is supernatural. And it comes out of a knowledge of the Word of God. Having the Word of God on the inside of you. Knowing what belongs to you because the Word of God says it's yours. And when you do that, when you have this inside of you, then no matter what you're faced with, praise God, rejoice. Why, Mark? How can I rejoice? Because you know what the answer is. You know that God has not left any stone unturned. He's not left any door open for the enemy to hurt you. He's done everything to put you in a position of victory. The victory is ours. It's simply a matter of whether or not we're going to walk in it. Are we going to take advantage of the victory over the enemy? And when I say that, I'm talking about in every facet of life, we have victory in our finances. Say, well, Mark, my finances don't look like I have victory. Well, all I can tell you is that the Word of God right here in Philippians, turn over to the fourth chapter tells us, Paul's writing here, he said, but my God, verse 19, but my God shall supply all of your need. Well, Mark, my need isn't getting supplied. This word right here says that God shall do this. He shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. You can either believe the Word of God or you can believe your circumstances. I choose to believe what the Word says. I choose to put this in a higher position in my life of truth I choose to put it higher than whatever the natural world tries to dictate to me, tries to say to me. I put the Word of God higher. It's higher. It's first. It's foremost. The natural world may say, you are in lack, Mark. Mark, hello, Mark. You're in lack. No, I don't. I choose to look at the Word and accept what the Word of God says, that my God shall supply all of my needs, all of them, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I'm going to rejoice now. I am rejoicing in the truth of God's Word. I am rejoicing in the midst of whatever kind of calamity I might be faced with. I'm going to rejoice. See, faith in God's Word rejoices no matter what the circumstances look like. I rejoice. See, that makes no sense to anyone in this natural world. If you're looking for something that the world is going to applaud and accept based on their ability to rationalize it, then you can't look in the Word of God and find that. See, the Word of God is spiritual. It's a spiritual document. It's a living thing. The natural world, they can't receive the things of God. So consequently, they're only happy whenever they see things in this natural world that line up with what they believe is good or right. They can't look at God's word in the face of opposition, in the face of dire forecasts. They can't look at the word of God and rejoice. It's not in them. But it is in you if you are a reborn child of the living God. And you rejoice not because of the circumstances, you rejoice in the circumstances, not because of them, and you're rejoicing because you know what the outcome is. Hey, even if worst case scenario, you get taken off of this planet, somehow you are removed from this planet. In other words, you die. You still win because you get to go be with Him forever. It's a win-win. It's not a win-lose. There's not, maybe I win, maybe I lose. No, we win. Either we win in the fact that we stand on His word and see the manifestation, or we end up joining Him in heaven for eternity. We win. But I choose to stay here and live out the full length of my life and not be taken off this earth by the enemy. I'm not going to let him have any kind of victory whatsoever in my life. He is defeated. He is a defeated foe. And it is ridiculous to let someone that's been defeated to beat up on you. So let's, having said all of that, let's look at Philippians. Let's just look at a few verses here. And we're going to do that. We're doing this with one thought in mind: encouragement. Encouragement to encourage you. God does not want you discouraged. He does not want you to feel like you are defeated. You are not defeated. Jesus has already won the victory and given us the victory to walk in it. But you have to understand that it's not going to be based on how you feel. My goodness, people want to go by their feelings. Well, I feel this way. I feel that way. What does the Word of God say? Well, I don't know what it says. All I know is I feel like this. Well, it doesn't really matter what you feel. What really matters is what God's Word says and whether or not you will believe it and stand on it. You know, I tell you, folks that are just the, you know, kind of mealy mouth, they won't stand on God's word. I feel sorry for you. I really do. Because the enemy just runs right over people like that. You got to be confident in what you know and what you believe. You got to be confident. You know, and I mean, I've seen people saved for years and years and years, and they still lacked confidence to just simply trust God. Trust Him, trust His Word, stand on His Word. God, I honestly can't understand that. So let's go here. Don't want to get negative. This is going to be encouragement night. Encouragement. So let's look here. This letter to the Philippians, Paul wrote this. Now get this. when he wrote this, this man was in prison. And he's writing a letter of encouragement to this church. Now, to me, it would seem to me like most people, if I was sitting in prison somewhere, I want somebody to encourage poor little old me. I'm the one in prison. Somebody come encourage me. Pat me on the hand. You know, tell me everything's going to be okay. Here, Paul is writing a letter of encouragement to the Philippians. It's interesting, this letter. It's like you have the discussion about great suffering in this letter, but you also have the discussion of rejoicing. And it's, you know, you would think those two thoughts are diametrically opposed. Great suffering and rejoicing. How can you rejoice when there's suffering? You don't rejoice because of the suffering. You rejoice because you know that you have the victory in Jesus. That's where the rejoicing is. Because you know you have the answer. Because you know what the truth is, you can rejoice. Not because of the fact that you're in pain, not because of the fact that, you know, things are going negatively against you. You're not rejoicing in that. You're rejoicing in the truth, in the answer, in Jesus who has set you free. See, the fact that you can do that in the midst of whatever kind of hell you're facing is proof of the faith that you've confessed, that you're walking out, you're putting legs to what you say you believe when you rejoice in the midst of difficulties. And so for you who's facing financial turmoil, my word of encouragement to you is this: rejoice. Just throw up your hands and thank God for the answer. Thank God that He's more than enough. Thank God that He shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank God. And if it's a health issue, thank God that Jesus bore your sickness and carried your pain, and by His stripes you were healed. You are healed in Jesus. He already paid the price for it. Well, Mark, why doesn't it just happen if He's paid the price? Why do I have to do anything? Because it requires faith. You have to believe. You have to believe. Well, I want to go find the most anointed preacher I can find, and I want to have him lay hands on me. And there's nothing wrong with an anointed man of God laying hands on you. Problem is, are you depending on that man instead of developing your faith and walking in your faith and what you believe? Now it's a problem. See, God doesn't want us depending on other people. When you're a baby, you know, it's like you have a little natural baby, you know, a little baby that's, you know, maybe 6 months old. They're not going to be feeding themselves. You know, they have to have mama feeding baby, clothing baby, cleaning baby, cleaning up baby's mess. You see, when that baby's 16 years old, well, I tell you what, you better not be having to clean up after baby. A baby better be cleaning up after themselves. See, that growth and development has taken place, and the fruit of it should be manifesting in that child, in that young person's life. Same thing holds true for us as Christians, as born-again children of God. God's level of expectation on a little newborn child of God is much different than someone that's been saved for 60 years or 50 years or 40 years or whatever it is. That person has a much different level of responsibility. God has a much different level of expectation for them that has walked with Him for years and years, and different level of responsibility. Now, maybe the person never has really accepted their responsibility, but God wants them to. God wants them to grow up. God wants them to accept responsibility for their own walk and stop depending on somebody else. It's sad to have been born again for 30 or 40 years and you're still depending on somebody else to bottle feed you. That's terrible. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to grow and develop in the things of God and to walk in the truth and to see the fruit in our own life. And so here we go. Philippians. First thing that I wanted to bring to your attention is in the first chapter. Look at these words, and these, this is only just bringing it back to your remembrance, because I know that none of the things that we're going to talk about here are going to be brand new information to you. These are things that you've seen before, but it, you know, you can eat you can eat oatmeal one time and it's going to do you good for that one meal, or you can eat it, you know, more than one time, and you're going to get benefit from it every time you eat it. We're going to eat some thing. We're going to eat some of the spiritual food here, and we're going to be encouraged by it. It'll do you good. Look at what he says in the 21st verse, chapter 1, Philippians. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Think about this. Think about what this man has just said. It's like he has a choice. Think about that. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But I'm going to have to stay here with you because you need to know what I have, what I can share with you. So I'm going to stay here, not because I want to. I'd rather be with Jesus. I'd rather be with him. And apparently at that moment, physically, he was in a position where it was maybe wasn't so comfortable in this natural body. But instead of giving up and throwing in the towel and saying, Jesus, get me out of here. I just want to leave. No. What was in his heart, what was in his the forefront of his thinking, grab hold of this, was not about him. It was about other people. Paul was not living his life with himself as the focus of his attention. See, today in our society, that is the focus of most people's attention, on themselves instead of on other people, loving other people, blessing other people, putting the things of God first, putting other people before themselves. No, people won't do that. They're all about me, myself, and I. And that's not what Paul was about. Paul said, I'm a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart. I want to leave here. But see, I know it's better for you that I stay here. I want to go. I am tired of this prison in Rome. I'm tired of the things I'm having to deal with in the natural. I would rather leave. But I'm not going to. Even though it would be better for me if I was gone. it wouldn't be better for you. And because I love you, I am going to stay here. See, I want to talk to you tonight about being encouraged. How does that encourage you? Because think about what Paul is saying. He's saying, I have a choice. I have the authority to choose whether I leave, whether I stay. I have authority in this earth. You have authority. You don't have to be subject to this natural world, to its ups and its downs, and all of the circumstances of this world. We live in this world, but we're not of this world. We're aliens. We're from another world because we have been born again, children of God, and we're living in these bodies. It's kind of like we're camouflaged in these earth suits to look like everybody else, but the reality is we're not like everybody else. So you may want to be like everybody else, and that could be one of the biggest problems that you have, trying to be like the other people in this natural world. God didn't call us to be like them. He called us to be examples in this world so that we can be a light in this darkness, a light to be salt in the earth, to be an encouragement to others, to be an example for others to follow. See, well, if you're only looking at yourself and your circumstances, and you know, I'm faced with this problem and that problem, then it's difficult to see the answer. It's difficult to see what God has already provided you with as a solution because you're so focused on the problem. God's given you the Word, His Word, and His Word will deal with every circumstance, every one of them, every circumstance of life. But it requires something of you. It requires you to open His Word and find the verses that speak specifically to your problem. You know, there's a variety of ways of finding that now with computers and computer programs. You can do searches and you can find verses that you need that will deal specifically with whatever problem you have. And just look at those verses. Read those verses. It will encourage your heart. It's almost like somebody breathed a breath of fresh air into your spirit. And where you could only see the negative, once you start getting His Word inside of you and you start seeing beyond this natural world, you're going to start seeing the answer to that problem. And you're going to understand that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do all things. Not just some things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Nothing is impossible to me. Why? Because I believe. There's nothing impossible to me. You say, well, Mark, there's a lot of things impossible in my life. Well, let me ask you, what are you looking at? Those things or the Word of God that deals with those things? Which is it? So part of the words of encouragement for you this evening is your answer is right here in the pages of your Bible. Your answer to whatever situations that you're facing, and it's up to you to to locate those verses that will deal with those issues in your life. Speak those out as a confession. Speak them out as a prayer. Just say, God, you supply all of my need. According to your riches and glory, I believe this. See, you're not only returning his word to him, but really, in all honesty, when you take his word and you confess it like that, you're in communion with him, in fellowship with him, because God and his word are one. So when you're speaking his word, you're communing with him. See, that's what God is wanting. He's wanting our communion, our fellowship. And you can fellowship with him around his word. And that brings him great joy. Just looking at his word. Just take a look at some of the verses in here. And just thank him. Say, God, I just thank you for your word. Thank you. The truth of your word is everything that I have need of. Glory to God. Go over here to the third chapter of Philippians. Finally, my brethren. Now, I want to bring this to your attention here. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. See, how many times has he said rejoice? Let me go back here in the first chapter in the 18th verse. Look at it. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Glory to God. I rejoice. Hallelujah. Look at the second chapter, the 16th verse. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. The 17th verse. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Look at the 18th verse. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. Jump down to the 28th verse. I sent him therefore the more carefully that when you see him again, you may rejoice and that I may be the less sorrowful. Then we were at the chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. Look at some of these other verses. The third verse. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Now look at these words. And have no confidence in the flesh. See, here's another problem. Here's another problem a lot of people are faced with. You have so much confidence in your flesh, in your ability to solve your own problems, until one day something is bigger than you are. And their money can't solve that problem. And the people that you know can't solve your problem. And now what do you do? See, that's when people start fretting and they get in fear and they start losing their hair out of fear. But he says right here, have no confidence, no confidence, zero, no confidence in the flesh. My confidence is to be in one person and one person only, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the finished work of the cross, what he has accomplished for me in his death, burial, and resurrection, and the fact that I have inherited sonship as a son of the living God. See, that takes care of everything, everything. Say, well, Mark, if I have this, Why don't I see the fruit of it in my life? You have to believe this. You have to believe that this is yours. And not just because somebody told you, but you got into the Word and you found it for yourself. And you looked at it and you meditated on it and you said, this belongs to me. This is who I am. And you reprogram the way you think. You go through that, what Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that transformation by the renewing of your mind. You renew your mind with this, the Word of God, until that transformation has taken place in you. And you stop looking like the rest of the world, acting like the rest of the world, being distraught like the rest of the world when the circumstances of life hit you. See, God wants us to take Him at His word, to accept the completed work of the cross and all the benefits that belong to us as a result, and to walk in confidently, not pridefully, but confidently, knowing that our Heavenly Father has accomplished this for us in Jesus. I have no confidence in the flesh. Though, and say, I want to read a little bit more here. This is Paul speaking. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Then he goes on, he's going to say why he could have confidence in the flesh. He was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss. Look at these words. Look at these words. I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He suffered the loss of everything. Everything. He lost his standing with the Pharisees, and yet at one point he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Well, see, we read that. Do we really appreciate what this man is saying? Of the religious people of that day, the ones who were the most esteemed by the people, the ones that had the places of prominence in the church, in the synagogue, the ones that everybody wanted to take out to dinner after church. You know, this was Paul's life. This is what he had. He had that position of prominence. People respected him as a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But one day, the light came on for him. Basically, he was blinded. And as a result of all that, we won't get into all that tonight, but the experience that he had, he came to know Jesus, and through all of that, he counted all of the natural accomplishments that he had accumulated, counted all that as nothing. Think about that. It's nothing to me. What's most important is Christ. What's most important is the finished work of the cross, what Jesus has done for me. Not what I did for myself, not the natural accomplishments where, everyone esteemed me as a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I could stick my chest out in pride because everyone looked to me. I was the man. No. He came to the place where he looked at those accomplishments and he said, rubbish, dung, it's nothing. It counts for nothing. It would be like for one of us today, you know, let's say you had all kind of letters after your name. You had your bachelor's degree, you had your master's, you had your PhD, your doctorate, you know, you had all of these accomplishments in the natural. And one day you woke up to the fact that means nothing. What the only thing that really counts is who I am in Christ, the person that Jesus has made me when I became born again as a child of God. That's the only thing. That is the only thing that matters. The other things, that's rubbish. It's dung compared to this, compared to who I am in Christ. Because see, you know, when you've been in heaven for millenniums, when you've been there, you're not going to care about what letters were behind your name when you were on earth. That won't count for anything. You won't even think about that. What will matter is what you did in this earth to touch other people's lives for the gospel, for eternity. You know, your relationship with Him. Those are the things that matter. Goodness. We have so focused on the things that really don't matter. We've put so much of our attention on the things of this world that don't amount to a hill of beans. You know, we focus on these things. We think they're important. You know, it's like, for example, you know, someone, you know, they have all their investments so that they can retire and they can live the good life. And I'm not against retiring. I'm not against having things. Don't get me wrong. But if your goal in life, your objective is, I'm so focused on living the good life, retiring, you know, I'm telling you that is so hot. That is just so, it's hollow. You know, and the thing is, it can be taken away from you just like that. What happens if the stock market crashes and all your investments are for naught? What happens if you get to the end of your working career and you're physically unable to sustain yourself in this earth? What happens then? You see, you lived all that time. You had all these hopes and desires pinned on that time when you can retire and travel and blah 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 and all that, all those things, and then all of a sudden, you know, reality hits you and you've got a death sentence of cancer. You've got, you know, a financial death sentence. You know, your investments are gone, and you lived your life with your expectations on those natural things, and they just evaporated. They're gone. God doesn't want you doing that. God wants you focusing on Him and His Word and who He's made you in Christ and what belongs to you as a child of God, so that no matter what is happening around you in this natural world, you can throw up your hands and you can encourage yourself in the Lord. You don't have to run to somebody else to pump you up. You can encourage yourself in the Lord. God, I just thank You that You're more than enough. I thank You, God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. Glory to God. That's who You are. That's who You are right now. Why, Mark, I don't feel that way. Well, stop going by how you feel and go by what this book says you are. Only go by what the Word of God says. Not by how you feel. Not by your emotions. You know, if you feel discouraged, well, get encouraged. I'm depressed. Just worship Jesus and stop thinking about yourself. You got yourself on your mind. Get Jesus on your mind. Worship Him. Focus on Him. Focus on other people. Well, Mark, I got this little hangnail right here. And here somebody's lost their arm. And you're worried about the little hangnail. Oh, my goodness. See, encourage yourself in the Lord. In the Lord. All right, let's look at here in the last few minutes. Let's go over here to Philippians 4. Philippians 4 is one of the best verses, chapters that I know of for how you can live this victorious life. If you'll follow this like a roadmap, the destination is going to be victory, peace. It's not hard. Look at what Paul wrote here. Verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose name are in the book of life. Look at this word again, rejoice. Think about the number of times he said it in this, just in this short letter, Philippians, four chapters. Rejoice, 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 rejoice. It's like, do you get the point yet? Rejoice in the Lord. Part of the time. Rejoicing in the Lord sometimes. Rejoicing in the Lord only when you feel like it. No. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Hey, if you fell over dead the next second, you get to be with Jesus. If you've made Him Lord of your life. So rejoice. You have nothing. You have nothing to be discouraged and disillusioned and depressed about. You get to spend eternity with Jesus. Glory to God. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, again, I say rejoice. In case you haven't gotten this, in the last three chapters, I want to tell you one more time, rejoice. And I want to tell you again, rejoice. My goodness. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful. See, here now he's getting to the nitty-gritty of this. This is how you keep yourself from getting in that depression and getting in that disillusioned and despair and all of that mess. Be careful. Don't have any care about anything. Now, I didn't say don't take responsibility for things that you need to be responsible for. But you don't have to take the care, the worry, the anxiety for things. You don't. God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to be carefree. He don't want you to be anxious about anything. Nothing. Well, Mark, my rent's due tomorrow. I don't have the money. Don't be anxious about it. Worrying is not going to change it. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice because He is your provider. I thank you, God, for meeting all of my need, including my rent. I don't know how you're going to do it, God, but I know you're providing my rent. I know that you're sending me the money, or you're somehow the money is coming in my hands. Somehow I'm getting this, whether it means somebody's going to offer me a job, I don't know. See, sometimes I think we believe that if we pray that God's just going to send an envelope, drop an envelope out of heaven with a bunch of money in it. Maybe he's going to connect you with somebody that needs work done. Work? What in the world is that? Yeah. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God. See, that's what you want right there. That's what we're to be walking in. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, now look at this. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Not on all of that worry. Not on thinking about how is the money going to come. You know, that is just one of those things that I know people think about. They worry about it. I don't know how that money's going to come. What am I going to have to do? Go to the pawn shop. I'm going to have to sell my car. I'm going to have to do this. And then you start trying to figure out how God's going to do it for you. And you're trying to help God instead of just resting and trusting Him, resting in Him and trusting Him. No, I got to help God out. No. You're going to mess things up if you do that. Just rest in Him. And, you know, if something comes along, you know, take advantage of it. No, I'm just waiting for God to drop that envelope of money on me. Well, you're going to be waiting a long time. You have to be open to however it is that He's able to bless us. Amen. So, theme tonight has been encouragement. To be encouraged, and really, to encourage yourself in the Lord. Don't go looking for people that have to pump you up. Look to God yourself. Allow Him to encourage your heart. Don't look at this natural world. Don't look for the peace that passes all understanding in natural circumstances, because that's not where it comes. The peace that passes all understanding originates from one place, and that's from God. And we're to look to Him for that peace, not this world. The world doesn't know that kind of peace. All they know is turmoil and hatred and all that kind of stuff. And you don't want that. You want the peace of God in your life. That passes all understanding. Glory to God. I hope that's encouraged you. I hope that blessed you. I hope that it is getting you to open that Bible and to get in there and to find out what belongs to you and stand on that and see the fruit of it in your life. Amen. I'd like to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the words of Paul. The words of encouragement. I thank you that He taught us how in horrible circumstances, how we can keep our focus of attention on you, and how that we're able to rejoice no matter what the circumstances, despite the circumstances, we can rejoice in every situation of life because of you. Thank you, Father. We glorify you and praise you, not because of the negative circumstances, but because you're Lord in the midst of those negative circumstances. You are Lord. We worship you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.